Morning, brethren. We look forward to the time when we won't have to live in time. God doesn't live in time, but we do, and time has caught up with us seemingly. We cannot believe that this is the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. It's hard to believe this final day has finally come, and Feast of Tabernacles for 2011. But during these days, we have been given the true messages from God's Word through sermons and sermonettes. This should cause us, brethren, as never before, to stand firm, stay focused, to fulfill the purpose of our calling. For many reasons, God has placed rich meanings on the Feast of Tabernacles. Those who have been called into the work of God in this end time have been given the opportunity to proclaim the good news of the soon coming kingdom of God. The Feast of Tabernacles pictures a time of peace, joy, and prosperity for all mankind as well as God's creation. This festival pictures a time when all nations will have the opportunity to rejoice in a world of peace. There's nothing like peace, brethren. We all know that. Prosperity will fill the earth in the millennium. God's blessings of abundance in physical and spiritual realm will be in the works. And all of this will be poured out without measure on mankind. We wait with great anticipation for Christ's return to this earth to change this society and to teach mankind the way of joy and peace. Because in today's modern world, even though God has permitted knowledge of learning to increase man's knowledge, but man has become proud in his accomplishments. With his powerful computers and satellites and modern scientific labs, medical discoveries. But in spite of this, man fights with nature and his fellow man with crime, drugs, and abuse. Sexual perversions and all sorts of other evils has escalated. Man pollutes the water, soil, because he does not know how to manage a civilization. And besides all of these things, and with all of this technology advances, man cannot get along with his neighbor. He just hasn't learned to do that. So the sermon title today that I would like to leave with you is Life in the Millennium. My purpose for this is to show you and give you a glimpse of what life will be like in the millennium. Please turn to Isaiah chapter 59, because in this chapter, Isaiah gives a glimpse of this society's conditions today, and why we should earnestly pray that God's kingdom will soon come. Man does not know how to rule. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 4. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. Verse 5, they hatch viper's eggs and weave the spider web. He who eats their eggs dies, and from that which is crushed, a viper breaks out. All of us have it sometimes experienced the spider with the little egg or whatever on his back. And sometimes if that gets crushed or disturbed in any ways, torn apart, and we see all of these little spiders that will come out. of that age. Sometimes there's 40, and sometimes there's 50, and even more. Verse 6 says, well, let's look at verse 5. They hatch viper's eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats their eggs dies, and that which is crushed, a viper breaks out, that we just read. Verse 6. The webs will not become garments, for they will cover themselves with their works. Let me read that again. The webs will not become garments, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the acts of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting, and destruction are in their path. The way of peace they do not know, and there is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths, and whoever takes that way shall not know peace. This is a picture, a sad picture, brethren, of this society. The spider web is used as an analogy here to show how Satan is using this society to gain his purpose of destruction for man. And as we know, the webs are used to ensnare, and in this case, webs are used to ensnare other people. And Satan is the one that is taking care of all this confusion. Webbing this web to catch you off guard. The emphasis here is showing the effects of the viper. If the eggs are eaten, one dies. And when the egg is crushed, it gives birth to more vipers. This verse emphasizes the cancerous growth and devastating results of sin. But just as the spider web cannot serve as a covering for the spider, so these wicked works of rebellion can never serve as a covering in the sight of God. Let's turn over to Romans. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Verse 15, Romans 3, verse 15, their feet are swift to shed blood. This is part of our society today. There's so much violence. Verse 16 says, destruction and miseries are in their ways. In our society today, brethren, people seek. Those in the world seek a way to produce violence. They seem to enjoy it. We have all of these movie pictures that is shown on TV and in the movies that is available. There's a lot of violence. What has happened to the movies that we used to watch back in the 50s, the 60s? What happened to those? Someone asked one time, why are you showing these things? And the answer was, this is what the people want to see. So there's a craving for violence. There's a craving for injustice. Verse 17. And the way of peace they have not known. Verse 18, and there is no fear of God before their eyes. So the feet which were created to carry the gospel to the ends of the earth has in every era of history readily carried men violently to commit injustice, war, with their fellow man. Man has not known the way of peace. And man cannot find peace apart from God. The United Nations and other peace-oriented agencies are doomed to failure because mankind has been taught in many ways to destroy. See, in many ways, Satan has induced in our societies ways, plans, and picturettes of how to destroy our neighbors. What has happened to the love that we should have? The most savage of animals, and this should teach us something, the most savage of animals do not destroy their own species to appease their hunger. Rather, you will not see a lion kill a lion to eat. No, he seeks other prey. But that's not so with our fellow man. The world is filled with animosity, hatred, terrorists, and murders. Man will never be at peace with himself until he is at peace with God. There is no fear of God in the hearts of the world. This world, brethren, do not fear God. We are here at the Feast of Tabernacles to keep God's command. But we also came here to fear God. God commands us to be here, but again, He wants us to fear Him. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 14. Deuteronomy chapter 14. Verse 23, Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 23. And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where He chooses to make His name abide. The tithe of your grain and your new wine and your oil, of the firstlings of your herds and your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. A man cannot govern himself long without destruction. From the beginning, man was given the opportunity and responsibility to dress and to keep the earth. But mankind made his own laws, his own rules that are in rebellion toward God, and placed himself within his own authority. Man does not want to be governed by God. Man wants to do the things that is convenient for him. And as we see prophecy being fulfilled very fast, we know that Jesus Christ will soon return to set up his kingdom on this earth. Kingdom of God and the millennial rule. In the millennium, the nation will praise God and be glad and sing joyfully because God will establish His just rule of righteousness and peace. Please turn to Psalm 67. Psalm 67. Psalm 67, we will read verses 3 through 7. Psalm 67. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. O let all the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Let all the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. This is what will happen in the millennium. In these verses, the blessings of fruitful harvest are mentioned as types of a greater spiritual blessing under which all nations shall fear God and love him as well. Because when all the people praise God, then the millennial earth itself shall be delivered from the curse and yield her increase. Most of us realize on the earth today, our soil is being destroyed. It's being destroyed rapidly through erosions and poisons. Over one-third of the topsoil in the United States alone has been lost. And the little that remains is losing fertility and soil life. This tragic example is being repeated around the world. Worldwide, some 24,000 people die every day from hunger or hunger-related causes. In recent years, the world has become aware of global warming caused by increase in certain gas components in the air, mainly carbon dioxide. This warming has been of great concern to many scientists who predict disastrous increase of desert areas. Much of the Earth's land cannot be used for agriculture today, as we know, because of its deserts, frozen Arctic, and mountainous wilderness. But a promise is coming, brethren, a time of peace and prosperity is just around the corner. When Christ sets up the kingdom of God here on earth, his intervention will set off a chain of events that will finally bring an end to the continuous woes of famine and hunger the human race has experienced down through the years of history. Bible prophecies shows farming will become a highly successful way of life in the millennium. Man will follow God's laws. Every seventh year, the farmer will observe a land Sabbath, and God will heal and bless the land. No more will thousands strive to disobey God, but they will strive to obey God. Many millions of people will not suffer and experience malnutrition. Let's notice Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41. Begin reading in verse 17. Isaiah 41, verse 17. And when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongues fail for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers and desolate heights and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and the acacia tree, the myrtle and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the cypress tree and the pin and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the Lord has done this, and the Holy One of Israel has created it. It will be no doubt when Christ returns and set up the kingdom of God here on earth, there will be no doubt in the minds of the people that God is the great creator. God also shows healing waters will flow through the valley, and everywhere the waters flow, everything will live. Symbolically, we know that waters represent God's Holy Spirit. So let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 47. Ezekiel chapter 47. We will read verse 9 and verse 10. We read verse 9 and verse 12 of Ezekiel 47. Ezekiel 47, verse 9, "And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the rivers go will live. There will be a great multitude of fish because these waters go there. For they will be healed and everything will live wherever the rivers go." Verse 12. "Along the banks of the river, on this side, and that will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month, because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for medicine." So there will be a time, brethren, for a healing process. Not only physically, but spiritually. These verses describe the physical renovation of the land as well as reflecting the spiritual renovation of the nation. But there is more to take place in this role in the millennium. Because the resurrected saints will assist Jesus Christ in a universal educational program of helping others to understand God's way. Now, this excites me, brethren. I'm excited because the billions and billions of people that will be resurrected will not know God's ways. You have been called. You have a purpose. You have a responsibility. We are in training, brethren. We will have to teach these people that come up in the resurrection God's ways. Huge responsibility on all of us. Isaiah chapter 30, please turn there. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 20 and 21. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 20. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers. This could very, very well be those who would not listen to God's instructions through His prophets. But now in the millennium, God will teach them once more the way of life, the way of His life, the way of peace, the way of joy. Verse 21, "Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.' whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. This clearly indicates a large responsibility, brother, a huge responsibility on all of us as teachers in the millennium. There will be those who will be resurrected that have been maybe living in this life, but refusing to listen to God's instruction. But in the millennium, God will not tolerate this attitude. There will be a different spirit, a spirit of wanting to learn and understand God's ways. Please turn to Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14. Begin reading in verse 16. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which come against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them will be no rain. If the family of Egypt will not come up and enter in, they shall have no rain. They shall receive the plague with which the Lord strikes the nations who do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Verse 19. This shall be the punishment of Egypt, the punishment of all the nations that do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. You know, brethren, God is not going to begin the millennium with a weak government. No, this government will be strong. God's law will be enforced throughout the earth as he rules. As kings and priests, we will be there to give those that's in that society a chance to learn God's ways. Because God will give those in charge the power to administer His laws. Notice Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verse 26. Revelation 2, verse 26. And he who overcomes and keep my works until the end, to him I will give power over all the nations. Yes, brethren, you will be there to rule with a rod of iron. Not weak, but strong. And sometimes, brethren, we wonder why we have so many trials and tests in this life. But it's all because of the reason that God is building holy and righteous character within us. Before God will give us, as part of His power to rule in rulership, He has to know our character. Those that rule with Christ in the millennium will rule with a different attitude of authority than the world has ever experienced. No, we will rule powerfully, but we will rule with love. We will rule with understanding, with grace, with forgiveness. This is the part of the rulership that will be in the kingdom of God. Please turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, begin reading in verse 25. And he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves." We will serve in the kingdom of God. This kind of giving, serving, love, and leadership will characterize those who rule with Christ in the millennium. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs 29, we will read verse 2. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 2. "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan." So we will rule, brethren, with righteous authority, because this is the way of God. We can rest assured that righteousness will prevail in the millennium under the authority of Jesus Christ. No longer will mankind be treated unfairly. All will be treated with love, concern, and will be a time when patience must prevail, when love must prevail, when forgiveness must prevail. And as kings and priests in the kingdom of God, we will have 1,000 years and the opportunity to work with Christ to help all nations build a relationship with God. The chance we will have is we will help others understand and be reconciled to God in a wonderful, and we will have responsibility and be able to fulfill our calling. And those who are called to serve in this way will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. Isaiah chapter 58, please turn there. Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 12. "Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in." Brethren, there will not be any unemployment in the millennium. Unemployment will be zero, because we will never finish the work that God has for us to do. This verse says, "Build the old waste places." Well, how many of those old waste places are there? We don't know. We don't have a number for that, but we know that. And another thing that we don't know, brethren, we don't know how long the war in heaven lasted When Satan rebelled and all the chaos that happened on these planets, how long was that war in heaven? Well, the Bible doesn't tell us. But here we have a verse that tells us that it will build the old waste places. Yes, God will go through the universe to replace and to rebuild. See, with our puny little information that we have to look into space, we can't see everything. There's millions and millions of places out there that man has not seen. How far does that go out into space? You know, the Scripture says there's no end to God's creation. No, there will not be any unemployment. The streets and dwelling places will be safe. God will establish His righteous government on this earth. The government will be a righteous ruling government unlike the world has ever known. Let's turn to Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Micah 4, verse 1, Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountain and shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Jacob, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways, and we shall walk in His paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. You see, at this point, brethren, people will be eager to learn. They will want to learn God's ways. So they're going to seek God's ways. So they are going to go up to be taught the laws of God. Jerusalem will be called the city of truth. For out of this city, God the Father and Jesus Christ will rule. Zechariah chapter 8. Please turn there. Zechariah chapter 8. Verse 3 and 4. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Verse 4. Thus said the Lord of hosts, O men and O women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each one with his staff in his hand because of great age. See, we can't do that now, brethren. It's dangerous to walk in places in daylight. Several years ago, I was in Los Angeles, and the hotel that I was staying in was a 3 or 4 star nice place. In the afternoon, I decided I wanted to take a walk. But I was advised not to do that. The beautiful surroundings that I was in, it was too dangerous to walk on those streets. So this will not be the case in the millennium. The streets will be made safe. There will be nothing in the streets anymore to harm them. All mankind will be able to grow to a ripe old age in peace and security. Instead of urban violence, gang murders, and early death of children, families will live safely and securely. Elderly men and women will live in peace and no longer experience so many kinds of abuse and neglect that they have to deal with today. Amos chapter 9. Amos chapter 9. Verses 13 through 15. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him who sows seed. The mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. I will bring back the captives of my people Israel. They shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink wine from them. They shall also make gardens and eat fruit from them. I will plant them in their land, and no longer shall they be pulled up from the land I have given them, says the Lord God, says the Lord your God. So our polluted planet will be renewed. The Bible reveals our glorious future in many prophecies of the Bible. One inspired description of our renewed planet is found in Isaiah chapter 35. Please turn there. Isaiah chapter 35. Begin reading in verse 1. The wilderness and the wastelands shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the ecstasy of Carmel and Sharon. It shall see the glory of the Lord, the ecstasy of our God. Verse 5. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. We can apply this verse spiritually and physically. It's coming a time when the blind will understand. And those that refuse to hear will want to hear God's laws. Verse 6. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For the water shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water in the habitation of jackals. For each lake there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. What an awesome future we have in the kingdom of God. Brethren, we will have the mind of God. Have you ever thought about that? Having the mind of God. You know, the Psalms says that God, in all of His creation, all of those billions and billions of stars out there, God can name all those stars. In fact, He has named them. He knows them all by name. Have you ever thought about all of those that are being resurrected? He has to know those people by name. Those people in the resurrection come up. This is what I ponder on about, that God will have to even know what size clothes you wear. He will not resurrect you in a naked form. Surely he will come up out of the resurrection with clothes on. But the mind of God, having the mind of God. And this is why God is working so hard with those that are he has called in this end time to be in his kingdom to build the character. Brethren, we need the character of God so desperately, so that we can teach and perform the things that God has for us to do in the millennium. knowing that our ultimate purpose to be a part of God's government, to rule and to reign as kings and priests in the kingdom of God under Christ, re-educating mankind, we will do that. We can come together, united, as never before, God, as never before, to make God's feast of tabernacles a festival of joy. Psalm 89. Please turn to Psalm 89. Psalm 89, verse 15 and 16. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. In your name they rejoice all day long, and in your righteousness they are exalted. Yes, we look forward to the good news of Christ's return. The King of Kings will defeat the enemies of peace. Please turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, in this chapter, describes God setting the stage for 1,000 years of peace and prosperity following his return. Because Satan will be bound and cast into a bottomless pit during the millennium. While Satan is confined, he will no longer be able to deceive the world with false religious and vile practices. So in Revelation chapter 20, in verse 1, then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand, and he had laid hold on the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nation no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. So the millennium will begin with a new world government, a new world order that will produce lasting peace. But what is that new world order? And how will the millennial government be organized? Well, the new world government will be directed by the King of Kings and Lords of Lords, Jesus Christ. He will appoint the saints, the faithful Christians, to rule with him. Let's notice verse 4, Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. And I saw thorns, and they set on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 4,000 years. The Bible, the word of God, brethren, reveals this magnificent future for all of us. And it guarantees 1,000 years of peace and prosperity. In the new millennial government, Christ, the King of Kings, will have the power to stop all nations and individuals from rebellion and war. There is hope for the future of this world. And there is hope for you and I. Today's Christians, the true saints, will be in the first resurrection to assist Christ in ruling the world. They will usher in the millennium of world peace. The glorious kingdom of God on earth will produce beauty and productivity such as the world has never known. And in the millennium, God will make his knowledge available to all mankind. Please turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. So, you know, we just can't comprehend what God has in store for us. But we know that he loves us and he wants us there to help him in this new world government. For the final scripture, please turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Brethren, let's pray fervently and ask God to send his soon coming kingdom to this earth, that we can be with him in the kingdom of God, to rule and reign, and to teach this evil society God's ways.